Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4. It simply says this. Joshua is speaking and he's instructing the people and he says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, in fact, why don't you stand? You need to stretch anyway. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites, they're carrying the Ark, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. So when you see the presence of God, move. Follow it. It's exactly what he said. They understood what the ark was. It was the presence of God. When the presence of God moves, get up and follow it. And then it goes on. It says, then you will know which way to go. Because up to this point, you know, they've just been wandering in the desert. But now you're going to know exactly where to go. And this is the key phrase. Since you have never been this way before. We have never been where God is prepared to lead us. And so when God's presence moves, we move. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us in these next few moments to capture your heart. You are taking us where we have not been before, and so we want to follow you where you are leading. In the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So Moses has now died. He's passed on his leadership mantle to Joshua, and Joshua is on the banks of the Jordan River, and the Lord tells him, you have never been this way before. This is a deja vu moment for Joshua because 40 years earlier, they were at the same crossroads. And 10 of the spies that had checked out the land saw nothing but trouble. And 2 of them saw nothing but opportunity. Land flowing with milk and honey. And the others are like, no, crawling with trouble. Giants that will kill us. We're grasshoppers in their sights, in their eyes. And so 2 different perspectives, but they're... The lesson they learned from failing to cross the Jordan River 40 years earlier, and it cemented itself in the mind of Joshua, was the all-important leadership principle of following. Amen? Leadership is as much about following as it is about leading. And I believe with all my heart that God has led this ministry for 50 years, and we've had skilled and capable leaders. We've had leaders of integrity, and we're grateful for that. But as we move forward, God is calling us to go to new places, to do new things. We have never been this way before. And God will take us where we have never been if we will follow. Amen? God will take us where we have never been if we will follow. Now, what we're going to do for the next few moments is, of course, we could study Joshua's life and we would need a whole lot more time than we have allotted. But we're going to capture just a couple of things from his life that help us understand how to follow the Lord well. So first off, we will follow well when we remain, number one, consecrated. We will follow well when we remain, number one, consecrated. God is looking for a consecrated Royal Rangers ministry. Look at verse 5 in chapter 3, the very next verse. Joshua gives these instructions. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And I am claiming that for Royal Rangers, that he is prepared to do amazing things, provided that we step back before he calls us to move and consecrate ourselves. God wants us to consecrate ourselves. God will take consecrated people where they have never been before. And God is calling us, I believe, as a ministry to the heart of what we were created for. From our founding, we were a mentoring program for future men. Now, Johnny said it in a little different way. I mean, his phrase, I think, was, develop the total boy for Jesus Christ. I loved it. I was in Idaho, and I sat down with, and I am so sorry, I forgot his name, but he was a former district director. If anybody's from Idaho, maybe you can, I know you'll know exactly who I'm talking about. I'm looking for Stephen. Maybe he's still here, but no, it wasn't David St. George, but anyway, he has Parkinson's and just had a lot of great conversations with him, and he said, I've heard so many good things about the changes, and of course, I was afraid I was going to get the opposite, you know, I can't believe you're doing this, but he was like, I've heard so many good things about the changes, so tell me about it. And so we would sit and we'd talk and, you know, we'd get interrupted and we'd pick up the conversation later. And basically it was a long conversation that lasted for about 4 days with lots of breaks between. And at the end of it, he says, Brother Doug, it all is so good. But at least you haven't changed reach, teach, and keep boys for Jesus Christ. And I was like, oh boy. I said, actually, we changed that too. He says, well, what is it? I says, it's evangelize, equip, and empower. And he thought for a moment, and he says, oh, Brother Doug, that's just semantics. And I said, you're absolutely right, because the mission has not changed from the beginning of Royal Rangers. We've been about mentoring future men. But if we are to mentor future men, whether we say reach, teach, keep, or evangelize, equip, and empower, it doesn't matter unless, as men, we are authentically consecrated to God. And so this morning, if we are to move into what God has for us, we will have to ask ourselves continually, am I really reflecting what it is to be a godly man? We do not produce the kind of fruit we want to produce. We will always produce the kind of fruit we are. And so if you are an apple tree, you can never expect to produce oranges. It won't work that way. So if we want young men to become godly, if we want them to become servant leaders, then we must absolutely be that kind of man ourselves. Through the years we've talked, the last few years, we've talked about ranger culture and the fact that we had never taken time to define in writing what our culture was going to be. And so we set out to write our culture, and we wrote that we were going to be men committed to personal excellence, to leadership excellence, and thirdly, to ministerial excellence. And that's in the previous council magazines and the article entitled Ranger Culture or Our Culture. And we laid out what kind of ministry values do we want to embody and pass on from our life to the lives of young men. And so we laid them out. But if the principles of God's Word are going to make that transition from God's book into boys' lives, it will only happen by way of the medium of my example and your example. And so I know I'm talking about the basics here, but it is vitally important that we understand that we will produce the kind of men we are. And I'm not going to unpack our culture and all that session again. You can review that and you would be wise to do so. But I just want to say, let's really be the kind of men. Let's be the kind of ministry that we have talked about and advocated. Let's be real men of God, on adventure with Him, men of character, men on mission, on task. Our life is pointed exactly where God wants it to go. Amen? So to that end, let me just say we must value what is most important, and what's most important is godly character. You know, I'm going to use a few illustrations this morning, and I'm not trying to be rude, but I don't want anyone to miss my points. So I've intentionally chosen a few that may sting a bit. I don't do it to hurt no one at all. But this whole notion that we cut ourselves slack and we say things, And I'm quoting almost verbatim. He's got a terrible temper, but he can sure put on a good Ranger Derby. And we tolerate the terrible character just so we can put on a good Ranger Derby. And my simple question is, what is going to stick in that young man's life? The Ranger Derby or the character of the man that put it on? All I'm saying is, where is it in us to do what the Bible says that we should, our good works should spur each other on? My good character should call out the best in you. We should be iron sharpening iron. That's the nature of a healthy community. So I am simply tonight, or this morning, as your national director, national pastor, just simply saying, let's constantly be asking ourselves over and over, am I the kind of godly man and servant leader that I want boys and young men to become? God will take consecrated leaders where they have never been before. So I want to be a consecrated leader. And I'm just challenging you as organizational leaders to constantly keep that at the forefront. Let's be the real deal. Let's be the real deal. Would you tell the person next to you, I intend to be the real deal. And as your national director, I want you to know, I intend to be the real deal. That's my commitment. Amen? Secondly, when we look at the example of Joshua, we follow well when we remain healthy. We follow well when we remain healthy. This takes us to Joshua chapter 7. We read in Joshua 7 that Achan has sinned. And you'll recall that he had taken the spoils of war. God had specifically said, no one is to take the spoils of war. There were times when he said, yes, plunder it. Other times he said, don't touch a thing. And this was one of those occasions when God said, no one should touch anything. Leave it all behind. Kill them all. And as Fred would say, let God sort them out. He said, kill them all and leave the gold and leave the animals. Leave it all. Don't touch a thing. Leave it. Of course, Achan took some and he hid it under his tent. And the sins of one man caused the favor of God to be lifted off an entire nation. And as a result, an inferior army routed Israel. And many men lost their lives that day because one man had sinned and the favor of God was not upon the nation. And so as a result, Joshua had to strap up his boots, buckle up his pants, and be a man and confront a very uncomfortable situation. Now, when he did that, the beautiful thing is that God's favor was restored. Now, I'm not suggesting that there's sin in the camp. I think we already covered that in our first point. Let's be consecrated, amen? But what I am saying is that there is a broad principle for church leaders. And how many of you know we are all church leaders? When you signed on to be a Royal Ranger commander, you signed on to be a church leader. Then you have to also understand that you signed on to be committed to church health. God is expecting us to contribute to church health. And so as a result, we don't have the luxury of overlooking issues that must be dealt with. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not advocating for harshness or rudeness, unkindness. I'm not advocating that we be rude. I'm not advocating we be impatient. I'm not advocating that we humiliate anyone. I'm not advocating any such thing. But what I am saying is, in a loving heart, in a loving way, we must set aside the personal discomfort we feel when there are issues, such as the guy who has a terrible temper but does a great Ranger Derby. and go to him and say, listen, you do a great Ranger Derby, but until you can check your temper and bring that under control, because after all, that is a fruit of the Spirit. When you can bring that under the Lordship of Christ, then we will be able to use you here. I love you, and I want to see you grow into the best man that you can be, but I'm going to need you to sidestep until you can get this under control. That's your job. If you were diagnosed with cancer, and your doctor, just to avoid the personal discomfort of letting you in on the bad news, kept it a secret, that would be medical malpractice. How much more so when those of us in ministry, to avoid the discomfort of taking someone aside by themselves and saying, let's get this temper thing under control so that your character is the kind of character that we want young men to emulate. Let's be men and be willing to step up and do what Joshua did and do the things that need to be done so that we can have health. You see, when we allow dysfunction inside of Royal Rangers, it becomes normal. When we allow it in the church, it becomes normal. And the problem with dysfunction is that it cannot produce health. By its very definition, it is a lack of health. And so we must deal with dysfunction. And when we tolerate it, then we are not contributing to health. And the only thing that can grow is something that is healthy. In fact, what is healthy will naturally grow. So we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing to contribute to health? And if something we're doing is detrimental to health, let's change that, because by definition, that will be a dysfunction. So all I'm saying is, let's be committed to health. In the last couple years, we talked about alignment. We said that as district and national, we need to be in alignment with one another. We need to be in step with one another. We have distinct yet unique roles. And if we get out of sync, then we're not in alignment. And so we talked about alignment, and I would urge you to review that if you need to. But it's critical that we remain in alignment in order to remain healthy. I think if we're to work in alignment, it means that, number one, that we will value the same outcome. District and national must value the same outcome. And that is a healthy outpost contributing to a healthy church. Amen? So we value the same thing. So you know, you get the bead on the front of the rifle, and you get the little Y in the back, you get that lined up, and suddenly you can hit the mark. Amen? We can target together, and we can contribute to church health. Amen? Secondly, when we're working in alignment, means that we protect each other's reputation as though it were our own. Sometimes there will be a policy you don't agree with. But you know what? Rather than throwing your district director under the bus, you protect his reputation as though it were your own. That's right. Instead of throwing your district superintendent under the bus, instead of throwing a pastor under, instead of throwing the national director under the bus, we protect one another's reputation, because sometimes we hear stories from the district, and I'll tell you, it would be easy for me to say, what in the world? I'm going to pick up the phone. But in the conversation, I say, you know what? I don't have the whole story, and I'm going to get the whole story before I comment on that. And I'm going to protect the district director's reputation as though it were my own. That's part of being in alignment. We're on the same team together. Third thing, if we're working in alignment, it means we defer to one another on certain issues. There are issues that the national, in order to remain in alignment, must defer to the district. This isn't perhaps the best example, but if Camp-A-Rama is so awesome every fourth year, then Camp-A-Rama every year should be even better. No. Because districts got things to do. They got proximity to churches that we don't have. We defer. Because that contributes to health. Yes, it's good and important to have the big thing. And we should support the big thing because it helps all of us. But we defer. Another example of deferring, flipping the table, would be toward the national and just saying, you know what? It's the national and the executive committee, working with the executive leadership of the Assemblies of God, that determines the uniform. Thus, we give our churches the options so that they have the flexible choice between a dress, a utility, or specialty, or any of the options. But within that, it's the national that defines what goes on that uniform. It's not to the district to say we're going to have an extra district item. Districts don't add hats that aren't part of the uniform. Districts don't add cords that aren't part of the uniform. We don't have districts that are allowed to blouse uniforms and others that aren't, etc. Why? Because nationally we're trying to communicate the same story and the same message, so we defer to one another. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Starting to get hot up here. But I'm talking about real issues, guys. I mean, if God's word isn't going to deal with real issues, then we're wasting our time. So let's work in alignment, because it will contribute to church health. Alignment recognizes the need for good leadership. Alignment, I said, recognizes the need for good leadership. You see, I don't say this to boast, but I believe the Lord has given me some leadership abilities. I'm a good leader. You have been given good leadership abilities. You are a good leader. But we need good leadership above us. I have to learn to follow as well as I learn to lead. That's just part of being in alignment, because otherwise we're not going to be working in the same direction. I need good leadership. And what happens when good leaders don't have good leadership above them is that their focus gets diffracted. And instead of having all of the leaders in an organization tightly focused on mentoring future men, tight like a laser that can cut through steel, we become this floodlight. And everybody can see the problem because we got a lot of light, but nobody can cut through steel. So we have to work in alignment. We can't fracture our ministries and diffract our focus. And I want to say publicly, as clearly as I possibly can, that I am committed to following the leaders above me. I am grateful for Mark Insminger, who you met this weekend. You met him last year. I am grateful for his leadership. Some of you met Julie Horner, who's part of the research and development team at headquarters. I'm grateful for her leadership. I'm grateful for the new CEO, COO of the General Council of the Assemblies of God. His name is Saul Arledge, and perhaps some year you'll be given the opportunity to meet him. I'm grateful for him. I'm grateful for his wife, Winnie, who's the Vice President of Church Ministries. We're under her and leadership and his leadership. I am grateful for Brother Garrison. He's a friend of Royal Rangers. Amen. Our Assistant General Superintendent is a man of God. And together, all of us, along with Scott Berkey over children and the youth department, all of us are working in alignment together. We're getting our act together nationally so that we can follow Dr. Wood's vision for the Assemblies of God. Dr. Wood has a vision for church health. And I love his vision. You'll be hearing in the days ahead more about the AG Healthy Church, which are resources targeted for the health of our Assemblies of God churches. You'll be hearing more about Healthy Church, which is the best of the best resources for the broad Pentecostal world. And you'll find resources in there that come from Gospel Publishing House and from Pathway Press and from Lifeway and from other sources, bringing together all of the best resources of the whole Pentecostal world so that we can create healthy churches in and outside the Assemblies of God. That's a kingdom focus that I can follow. And I thank God for Dr. Wood's vision and leadership. Dr. Wood has a vision for the broad evangelical world, and he's created a brand called the Influence Brand, which is resources intended for the broad evangelical world, but with a distinctly Pentecostal message. He wants the Assemblies of God to gain a voice in the broad evangelical world, a voice that we have lost. Amen? Dr. Wood has core values. First, to passionately proclaim the gospel. How many of you are on board with passionately proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ at home and around the world? Amen? I want to be evangelistic. His vision is to strategically invest in the next generation. That's children and youth, boys and girls. How many of you are on board with that? Amen? Hallelujah. Third, he wants to vigorously plant and revitalize churches. How many of you are on board with that? I mean, that's just a greater market share. More churches means we have more opportunity for outposts. Amen? Healthy churches, revitalizing them. I'm on board with that. Finally, he wants to skillfully resource our fellowship. How many of you are grateful for Track Club? That's Dr. Wood's approval. One of the delays we experienced, Dr. Wood himself emailed me and he said, let's pull back on Track Club for a few months and let's get a few things straight and right in our plan before we move forward. And that was tough on me. I'm going to be honest with you, because I was ready to go. But I took his email, and I'll be honest, I grumbled to myself for a few moments. And the Lord just told me again and again, the success of Royal Rangers moving forward has nothing to do with your ability to lead. It'll have everything to do with your ability to follow. And that is a message that I think the Lord has for all of us. I want to be part of Dr. Wood's vision. And I'm not asking you to get in alignment with Doug Marsh because I'm on a power kick. I'm asking you to get in line with where we're going as a movement so that we can contribute to church health. So I want to be a good follower. Do you want to be a good follower? Saul Arledge, our COO, Chief Operating Officer, said the Lord gave him an image of the Assemblies of God ministries. He says it's like this big ship that represents the Assemblies of God in the broad Pentecostal world. And then attached to that ship are all these tugboats. But instead of pulling that boat to a safe harbor or perhaps out into the oceans where it can adventure and go to the deep sea and the deep blue, instead of that, all the tugboats are pulling in different directions and just about to tear the boat apart. And so our commitment at the national headquarters is to get all of our boats, all of our tugboats, pulling in the same direction. And that's what I'm asking. That's what I'm asking as plainly and perhaps as bluntly as I know how. To simply say, you know what? There's been times in the past where we've taken great pride that our district just is out of line with national. Let's take pride in being in alignment. Let's take pride in good followership. And let's use the mechanisms that we've put in place when national is missing it. No one's saying ignore the issue. Send it up. Email makes it easy. Drop us an email if there's something we're out of line on, that we're not getting straight with the objective of mentoring future men. We're missing something. We want to hear it. But let's take pride. Can we? Can we take pride in saying, we're in alignment. We're doing what is our role as districts. We have this role. National has this role. We're going to let National do the national work. We're going to do our work, and we're going to do it together in alignment, because God will take leaders and ministries that prioritize health to places that we have never been. How many of you want to do that? Praise the Lord. Third and finally, we follow well when we remain dangerous. We follow well when we remain dangerous. I need to take you to the very last chapter of the book of Joshua, and I love this chapter. As we open it, Joshua begins to celebrate the past. He begins to talk about Abraham, and he moves through the chronological history and talks about Jacob. And then he talks about Joseph, and he begins to talk about Moses, and then he talks about God's faithfulness all the way up to that very present time. And in his account, he tells us the secret to remaining dangerous. And by definition, I think dangerous means that we remain influential and effective. And that's our vision as a ministry, is it not? We have said over and over through the years, our vision as we move forward is to influence more boys and young men than ever, and to do it more effectively than we ever have. Amen? So influence more effectively. That is the definition of a dangerous ministry. Not a ministry that peaks out at 50 and shuts down the doors or gives up, you know, the drive and the energy. We got more energy moving forward than we've ever had. Amen? How many of you want to remain dangerous? Praise the Lord. So he tells us in verse 14, last chapter, chapter 24, and verse 14, the secret to remaining dangerous. Fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Serve the Lord and or fear the Lord and serve him faithfully. Here's the thing I think we have to understand, because it is so easy when you read that last chapter to think that Joshua is trying to give a history lesson. He's not trying to give a history lesson at all. What he's trying to do is he's using a story to make his point over and over again, because his story had really nothing to do with the past. It had everything to do with the future. He wasn't trying to account for the past. He was trying to give them a future focus. Basically, what his message was this. Do you guys remember when you were faithful and God came through for you? You remember that? Yeah, we remember that. Let me remind you of this other time. Remember when God was faithful there and we were faithful and again God came through? You remember that? Now, do you remember when we weren't faithful and we got stuck in circles out there for a while? Remember that? Let's not do that again. But hey, do you remember when God was faithful over here and we knocked down the walls of Jericho? You remember that? So he tells the story, and basically he's using different stories and making the same point over and over and over again. When you're faithful, God will be faithful. When you're not faithful, you're on your own. So I think he then looks at the people and says, get the point? As you move into the future, fear God. Fear God and serve him faithfully. His thing was a future focus, not a past focus. God hated it whenever the people had a past tense focus to their leadership. See if you remember reading any of these. God, did you bring us out here to kill us? Did you bring us out here so that we would starve to death? You know what? I think it would have been better to stay in Egypt. Anytime they took a past tense focus in their leadership, God was displeased. Whenever they had a future focus, God was always very, very pleased. Men, here's my point. It is easy. It is so easy to default into familiar patterns, is it not? Default to familiar patterns and policies and practices. But if we are to move forward, we have to ask God, what do we need to shed? Thank you, Harry. It's easy to default into the familiar and what we're used to. But Roar Rangers 2.0 is a new thing. And we're moving into a new day. We're taking the things we've learned from the past. They've shaped us, yes. But as we move into the future, we must be full of faith, anticipation, hope, focus, prayer, adventure. After all, when you move into things you've never done before, you can expect the unexpected. You can expect to learn new things. You can expect to, just ask anybody that's been on a missions trip, you can expect to eat some food you're not used to. You can expect to ride in some taxis that you wouldn't otherwise ride in. You been there? God is taking us into new places, and I'm simply saying, let's be good followers. Let's follow the Lord. Let's move in after the things that He has in store for us. We're grateful for our past, but men, God has done everything He's going to do in 1962. Everything that God's going to do is today and tomorrow, and next week and next month. And as leaders, let's reside in the future and let's move into the future. And yes, we're going to learn from the past. We're not going to throw out the baby with the bathwater. But as we move forward, let's just have the quick and nimble spirit that we've said we're going to have, that we will be adept to change and we will move into the future full of faith and believing that God has the best in store for us, even if we have to work harder than we've ever worked in the past. I love Marvin Lemke. I wish he was here. But Marvin Lemke is one of those leaders who, at his age, as a veteran ranger leader, could say, you know what? I'm going to fall back into the things I'm used to doing and the familiar patterns, and I'm just going to finish out with what I'm used to, and I'm going to let some young guy come along in a couple years, and he'll get us into the future. But Marvin's attitude is, you know what? I'm going to set the table for the future. And I love that. That's future leadership. That's a future focus. And I'm just simply saying, if we are to remain dangerous, we will learn from the past. We will gather strength and courage from the past. But as we move into the future, we must have a future tense focus. I'd hate to belabor the point, but I have to say this. As you move in leadership with a future tense focus, you must choose who you will lose. You see, with a future tense focus, you might, and that's the key word, you might offend and lose some of yesterday's leaders and maybe some of today's. But if you move into the future with a past tense focus, you will definitely lose the boys and the leaders of tomorrow. That's right. And so I'm just saying, if we're going to be dangerous as a ministry, we have to have a future tense in our leadership. We have to reside in the future. We're going to have to deal with those issues. We're going to have that future focus, that faith and that anticipation to move into new things, because we're going places where we have never been before. So as a young man, Joshua and Caleb, these two young men, 40 years earlier, stood at the same place they were at the Jordan River, ready to move into what God had for them. And their unwillingness to follow into the unfamiliar caused them to wander aimlessly for 40 years. All they had done was exchange the slavery of Egypt for the slavery of aimlessness, because the people weren't willing to follow into the unknown. And I'm just simply saying, with anticipation, with excitement, with certainty in my spirit, in my heart, that our best days are ahead. And we have nothing to fear but fear itself. We have God going before us. His presence is saying, let's move. And so my question to you all is, will you follow? Because I'm going to follow. So Joshua is at the bank of the Jordan River, and he has to move this entire nation across the river into the unknown. And to do that, he has to make the question very personal, very individual. And he simply asks, who among you will remain consecrated? And he even says himself, as for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? So he answers it, as for me and my house, we're going to be consecrated. How about you? Are you going to be consecrated? Then he asks very individually, who will remain healthy? He says, I will. I will remain a healthy leader. He was a leader of integrity. Who will remain dangerous? I will. So organizational change, the change we've been going through, will never be successful unless individuals choose to adopt it and to follow it. And so I'm asking you as the organizational leaders, will you follow me well while I follow Dr. Wood well? So that together we can have a clear focus on being the best mentoring ministry that the world has ever seen. Let's not give us an inch for someone else to come up and take our place because we weren't willing to follow God well. Let's follow him well. So as we move forward, we must do so for the sake of ourselves. Following does me good. Following does me good. Following will do Royal Rangers good. Following will make eternity good also. And heaven is well populated by young men. So as we move forward, I'm simply asking, as humbly as I can, will you have the courage to let God take us where we have never been before?